thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
So the Bible reading tonight is from Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build a bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to them, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God."
Hey, friends. Thanks heaps, Essie. You're a legend. And I think I speak for us all when I say, whoo. Is anybody else already feeling a little bit uncomfortable about this passage tonight? I am. It's not just because I'm preaching. One honest person. Well done, brother. I reckon this is one of those passages that actually makes us all feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? We're Australians. Talking about money at the best of times is a little bit confronting. But this passage takes it up to a whole other level, doesn't it? But my prayer for us tonight is that any discomfort we may or may not be feeling will not be the kind of discomfort that overwhelms or burdens, but instead is kind of like what happens to you when you're trying to master a new pose in yoga. You've all been there. At first, the stretch is very challenging, it's not very pleasant, and it's quite uncomfortable, but ultimately you know it's for your good. So, you ready to stretch into it, friends? Woo! All right. I want to start by saying, and just putting it out there, that nothing, absolutely nothing, makes us feel more uncomfortable than when Jesus calls us on something. Am I right? You're killing me tonight, guys. That is the most uncomfortable feeling of all time. That poor, unfortunate dude in the crowd, do you think he had any idea what was coming? "Teacher, tell my brother to divide up the inheritance with me." Awkward. You just know it's not going to end well, and it doesn't. Jesus just goes on this classic Jesus rant, kind of takes it as a teaching moment, and tells everyone this awesome story about this rich farmer totally killing it with a bumper crop. I like to imagine that it's kind of set in twilight. You know, the rich farmer kind of comes out. Maybe it's just after the harvest has been gathered, and he's kind of like, "Wow, would you look at that?" You know, just like the sun is setting, just taking it all in, drinking it all in. And this harvest is so big and the crop is so terrific that as he's kind of drinking in the sweetness of all of his labours, he starts to wonder, where the heck is this all going to fit? And like that satisfied rocking back and forth on the heels turns into the pacing of a man in a frenzy, desperately trying to come up with a solution, looking from the barn to the crop, to the barn to the crop. "It's not going to fit, but I've got it. This is a knockdown rebuild sitch. Going to tear that one down, build up a new one, and it's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, it's going to have more grunt. And then the only thing that I have to do is fill that sucker, and I am sweet. I am set. I am on easy street. Happy days." You fool. Life does not depend on possessions. It is not defined by what you have. even when you have a lot. Nothing makes us so uncomfortable as when the Lord Jesus calls us on something. And here Jesus is calling us out on the problem of greed. And I want to define greed tonight very simply and grammatically incorrectly, but just be with me on this, as the intense focus or fixation on getting. Greed is the intense focus or fixation on getting. And Jesus here calls it out on the man in the crowd who had such a well-developed sense of entitlement and was so keen and so eager to secure what he thought he had a right to, that he was somehow able to make his voice heard over everyone else's, calling out on Jesus to intervene. And then in the Lord's story, he points it out in the character of the rich man that he cast as the fool, this rich man who had everything, but who was so short on satisfaction because all of his hopes were wrapped up in a future that would never come to pass. He was so busy looking at what was lacking in the present and hoping and planning for what needed to come next that he never realized the complete and utter futility and pointlessness of that effort and that thinking. And by telling them this story, Jesus was calling out the problem of greed on the people in the crowd. And I want us to just take a minute and ponder on that a little bit. Jesus was calling out the problem of greed for everyone in the crowd. Who was in the crowd? The dude with the inheritance issue, a couple of bigwigs, maybe a few people who are in comfortable circumstances. We're talking about a first century agrarian society. Most of the faces there in the crowd that day hearing this parable for the first time were subsistence farmers, fisher folk, maybe a couple of tradies. We're talking paycheck to paycheck. We're talking week to week. And I think if you think with me on that for a little bit, you'll realize this actually tells us something really profound about the nature of the problem, doesn't it? The problem of greed is a problem for everyone. That everyone in the crowd was afflicted with that intense focus, fixation on getting stuff. Because greed is not limited or restrained or contained in any way by your capacity to get stuff. It doesn't dwell in your bank balance, it dwells in your heart. Doesn't take money in your pocket, just eyes in your head. Greed is a problem for everyone, rich and poor. And what was true back then is still true today, right? Right? Totes. Totes right. Still a problem today. Greed is a problem for everyone. We still need to be called on it today, and that's why I think all of us are feeling a little bit uncomfy. It starts young. If you've ever been at Woolies or Coles and you've seen a toddler shopping with mummy or papa, this generally tends to happen around the confectionery aisle or the checkout. You know what I'm talking about. It's that moment when their cute little eyes are caught by something shiny, conveniently placed at eye level, and they want it. They ask for it. They point. They persist. It gets louder and louder and louder. The asking turns to pleading, turns to pleasing, turns to whining, turns to crying, turns to yelling, turns to a full-blown tantrum. These little ones are too young to be able to count the coins that that thing that they want would cost. They can't read the price tag, and they certainly are too young to earn pocket money of their own. So little and so tiny. But they already know that to see is to want and to feel the power of that. Another example from the world of little people. I've just been spending some time with my nieces and nephews, so they're on my mind. Illustrates, I think, for us the fact that even when you get the thing that you want, you are still unsatisfied. Let me explain. Have you ever hung out with a little one learning how to talk? They're generally around 15 months. 18 months, they're so cute. All right, well, for those of you who are familiar with this age, can you shout out for me what you think the top four most important pieces of vocab these kids have to master are? First word? Oh, mine. I didn't think about that. Okay, top five. First word, someone really important. Dada. Mama. It's easier to say. Mama, then dada. Mine. Forgot that one. Really important one, guys. Come on. No. No. Last one. Everyone has much better and more well-adjusted nieces and nephews than me. It's definitely not my fault. Okay, so my nieces and nephews, their most favourite word of all time, second most other than no, is more. 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 They could have a biggie in the mouth and a biggie in either one of their cute, pudgy little hands, and still they are demanding more, more, more. What is this three biggie business? I want all the biggies. They shall be mine. More. These little ones are so tiny. And yet even they know that to see is to want, and to get is to not be satisfied. More, more, more. And what's true of the littlest of us is true for the biggest of us too, isn't it? The problem of greed only grows and develops as we do. It moves from the humble packet of bickies and the confectionery aisle to the toy box, to the bedroom, to the wardrobe, then to the shed and the garage, the Pinterest board, the bucket list, and then, if you're very, very good, the home. It moves from tangible objects to intangible objects, things like milestones that we want to have and think we need, or relationships, building our social public profile, wanting to position ourselves into a place where we feel we have influence and significance and control and we matter. The problem of greed is a problem for us all, and it's a very, very big one. If you can use your imaginations with me for a moment, the problem of greed is kind of like that really old, classic-looking petrol guzzler. It will literally take all of the time and money and effort and energy and vitality you can throw into it, but it will give you a very poor return and won't get you very far. Or this one, problem of greed, that desire to get stuff, it's kind of like a tube of Pringles. Always seems like a good idea at the time. It's delicious, it's enticing, it's impossible to stop. And yet it leaves you hungry even after you've demolished the lot. What about this one? The problem of greed is a little bit like a stunning new macro lens. I might just have one of those. It beautifully zooms in right on you, and it makes everything else this gorgeous kind of decorative background noise framing the subject of the photograph, you. Or it's kind of like when you come home with super good intentions that you are going to do that important thing. You're going to smash that homework or that essay or that sermon. You're going to get that stuff done, but then Netflix. Next thing you know, it's the morning. Focus and fixation on getting is kind of like a night spent in Netflix, preventing you from being able to do anything that's worthwhile, although it seems entertaining, intense, and all-consuming at the time. Given the state of that problem, is it any wonder that Jesus jumps on the chance that young man gives him to talk about that problem, to call it out in him, to call it out in the crowd? Is it any wonder that Jesus starts to craft this story that's so clear and so obvious and so damning in such high contrast, using only the colours black and white to highlight the toxic impact, the wasteful, the crippling effects of this problem that is a problem for us all? Greed drains your energy. It consumes all of your passions. It fills you with a relentless restlessness that urges and propels you to want more and more and need the next thing and the next thing and think about the thing after that. Greed leeches you of your satisfaction and sucks you dry of contentment. It swallows up your life. It binds up your potential. It twists and it turns all of your perspectives until you are utterly self-focused, self-prioritized, and so preoccupied that you can't see anything or anyone else. Is it any wonder that Jesus jumps at the chance to call us out on that? And then he turns to his disciples and he keeps going. You can read along with me from the screen behind. I want you to relax. I want you to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss and worry and stress over these things, what to wear, what to eat, what to get next. But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Isn't that beautiful? Into our deep, deep problem of greed, this relentless, restless fixation on getting, comes the sweetness of God's invitation to relax and receive. To relax and receive. This is an invitation of freedom and release. It frees and it releases our energy. Instead of pouring it all out into sweating the small stuff of our existence, we are invited to receive the good and everyday provisions of our all-giving Father and pour our energy instead into the initiatives of the kingdom. This is an invitation that opens up new doors for our passions and our creativity. It diverts our thirsts and our appetites and our ingenuity and our imagination away from the smallness of greed and the pettiness of just wanting to get stuff, and it lifts them up into the purposes and the plans of heaven itself. How good is that? Guys, come on. This is an invitation to experience life, real life, true life, and life that is not defined by getting, but by the Father's giving. A life that is at rest, not restless, completely satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, and wholly content with the tasks he gives us to do. This is an invitation to the kind of life that can be lived according to the light and the reality of where we are going, not by what we want to get. It's the possibility of correcting and realigning and enlarging our perspectives to take in something of the kingdom. And instead of being preoccupied with things that don't last, it's the release to become beautifully preoccupied with things that do. Can you just imagine if we took him up on that offer? Just imagine what it would look like if we accepted that invitation. Imagine if all of the people sitting here tonight in this community of faith were so relaxed about doing everyday stuff that we started to do it in a whole new way with a whole new focus. Imagine what difference it would make if each of us was so stoked on what we've received from the Father, and so filled up with the good things of God, so dazzled by the riches of heaven, that even the bright, shiny newness of Miranda and the glossiness of the shiniest advertisement would hold no lure for us any longer. Imagine if, when it came to wanting something new, you know that I want that new something kind of itch? Imagine if when that I need something new itch came along, the only thing that would scratch it is seeing new life coming in our neighbours and our friends, because that is what interested us and that is what we were invested in, not the latest I-something or the hot new trend. It would revolutionise our mission, wouldn't it? Imagine the difference that would make. Imagine the difference it would make to your morning routine. Imagine the change if your focus was no longer on getting organized, getting ready, getting the best seat, getting on the train, but on receiving. If instead of ducking and weaving and jostling and pushing on the platform or on the bus or on the road to get from point A to point B, tasks 1, 2, 3, imagine if instead we were alert and looking out not for the best spot in the traffic, but for what God was doing around us and looking to partner with him on that. And imagine what would happen next after we arrived at work or school or uni, if we were so chilled and so filled on the great things of God, so at rest and so satisfied in him that we were free to be alert and intent and on the lookout for what he was doing in our mates and our colleagues. Imagine the conversations and the moments and the opportunities that we would notice and start to be able to speak into and act into. Can you imagine the flow-on effect in your classroom and your playground, or in the conference room or your lecture hall? Can you imagine the potential that would be unlocked for the kingdom? I mean, could there be anything more countercultural than a people going about doing life, not in the hustle and bustle of trying to get stuff, but in the overflow of what God has already given? Could there be anything more countercultural and attention-grabbing than a people focused not on getting, but on what they've already received? Grace would gush out of here like water breaking over the banks of a creek during rainy season in the Kimberley, flooding everything and wholly changing the landscape. That is one sweet vision, isn't it? How do we realize it? Well, because greed does not live here, but it lives here and here, we are not going to talk about stuff. We are not going to talk tonight about going home and getting rid of stuff, giving stuff away, and just resolving to not get any more stuff. So what we're talking about are our hearts and our minds and the desires going on within us. And what that means is that a rewiring is required. And what that means is we need a work of the Spirit. And so tonight, we're going to press into the Father together, praying for his Spirit to be rewiring us from the focus and fixation on getting, that we might instead be people who are marked and empowered by what we have received. We're going to start doing that together right now. Can I just invite Lex and the team to join me here on the platform? And when they get up here, I'm going to start playing some music for us. And I'll kick off this time of response by praying. And after I pray, these guys are going to keep playing for us. And I want to invite you to make use of that time to respond. If you feel comfortable, why don't you turn to the people around you and ask how you can pray for them on this. Share how they can pray for you. If you would prefer to come down the front and receive prayer, have someone pray for you. Mark, Matt, Essie and myself will be here and we'd love to do that for you. Or if you'd just like to take a moment to meditate quietly on your own at the things that God is laying on your heart and respond to that, please do. But whichever way, let's take this time together to be in prayer, to ask God to free us from that deep, deep problem of greed, that we can be people who relax and receive all the good things he wants to give us. Will you stand and join with me as we start praying now? Our loving God, we want to thank you that you love us enough to call us on the things that are no good for us. And we want to thank you, Father, that in the midst of this terrible problem of greed, you give us the invitation to relax and to receive good things from you, Father. Father, Father, we know that this is your work, and we pray that you'll send your Spirit into us, setting us free from that focus and that fixation, God, and renewing us, releasing us, and rewiring us, that we might be people who are marked and empowered by the good things you give us. And Father, we ask this not for ourselves alone, but for our community, for the men and women at school and at work. Father, we pray that as we relax and are blessed by the outpouring and the overflow of your abundant goodness, that those things would flow out through us to our schools and our unis and our workplaces. And Father, would you build your kingdom through a people totally sold out and relaxed in you? And we ask these things in the name of your Son.